books that had the word all crossed out and saved there. We were to sing when the saved get to heaven, because we're all not going to heaven. And I always wondered, you know, how did they know? I mean, did they know something I didn't know about somebody or myself or what? But the confidence that we should have was obviously missing in those days. I just thought, for those of you who might be interested, which is probably none of you, partial retirement is going okay for me. I guess I don't miss it when I'm not there, but I still go in a couple of days a week, seems like. We did take a couple of weeks, went to California, and we've been back for a while. I did miss it, though, coming back from California, because always before, when we spent week 10 days on West Coast time and come back, I had to be at work like the next day, or might leave a day, and that helped getting back into that, be there by 8 or whatever time it was. And we came back and we didn't have to get up. You know, you're tired when you go to bed, you go to bed. And when you wake up, you know, and you look and it was noon. I thought, noon? But it was really 9, I keep telling myself. So, you know, it was just a little bit hard to get used to with that. But, you know, getting away from work was fine. Things were starting to pass me by a little bit. And not really. I mean, I didn't have so much to keep up with like Pat did, on where you were graded on keeping up with what was happening and the changes were. But I mean, I have a 2004 Sonata that's got a tape deck and a CD player both in there, and I had to like argue for the CD player. And then it kind of advanced to where you could get like the CD changers, where you could put in like maybe 6 or 10 if you had a really nice car. And then that kind of moved on to where, you know, the cassettes obviously went away and you had the CDs. And then not too long ago, we started getting cars that didn't have a CD player in them. And people complain, you know, what am I going to do with my CDs like that? But they now have USB ports and auxiliary jacks to where you play things off your iPhone, your iPod, or right built into the hardware of the car, you can access Spotify or Pandora or whatever, and you just don't, you know, now CDs are a thing of the past, or getting there. And so, you know, like that, I think we all remember, do you remember the VHS, you know, video recording devices? And, you know, I mean, that was quite an industry, obviously. Now you have Redbox and all the Netflix and all that kind of stuff. But at one time, you had that big old bulky VHS or beta thing. But I don't know if you ever remember, if you ever rented a movie from Blockbuster, let's say, that one of the things it would say right on the cassette itself was, "Please be kind, rewind." Because they always remind you after you've run that thing, please be kind and rewind. Now, how many times did you get a VHS one and you put it in and it was already at the end, you know? People didn't do that very often. But I mean, it was because it was no benefit to me to rewind it. And even if I rewound that, that doesn't mean that the next one I get was going to be rewound. It probably wouldn't be. But it was just be kind. Do something without expecting something in return. Of course, I'm sure they weren't thinking that. But in regard to the consumer, that's what you were being asked to do. So, you know, I think that kindness is our word of the day. And it's increasingly rare. In a sense, kindness has become a novelty and our culture of rudeness, self-seeking, self-promotion, and the self-centeredness that we are bombarded with in today's society. Let's pray. Dear God, as we look at the scriptures today, help us realize that the words we read, we understand that the word is alive. Speaks to us not as a story, but as a way of life. Help us realize that the word, the living word, is in all of us. The Spirit lives and guides us. We ask, Heavenly Father, that we are able to realize that and have it affect our lives, which will affect those around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. So in a climate that we're in, you can imagine how the reaction of some people. We're going to show a video here in a second, it's only about 3.5 minutes long here, but in brief, I'll give it a little preview here. There was a group of people, and I think they're called Improv Everywhere, and it's a, I suppose it's kind of a joke, where you kind of played a joke on people, but what they did, they took about 20 people or so, went to JFK Airport, and greeted people as they came in, and they were kind of befuddled by that, so you'll see as they explain it there. Go ahead and run that, Dalton, if you would. Thank you. So next month we're all going to the airport out here. But you know that's the kind of something you tell the befuddled look on these people. This doesn't even make sense. You know, this is just crazy. I mean, it's so absurd that it doesn't even make sense. It's not for me. It can't be for me. You don't just do that and get that from somebody. It's not for me. Who treats me like that? So what is kindness? Do we know what kindness is? If we have ideas and assumptions of what kindness is, why are people not as kind as they could be? Or is it as the kind that they know they should be? We have some insight as to what kindness should look like. And it's definitely more than a couple of nice words to people here and there. A lot of what I talk about today is really just reading some scripture. I love reading scripture. It just speaks. And I read from the New Living Testament translation. And it's accurate, but yet it's living, I call it. And that's my personal favorite. So the ones I'm going to be reading from today are from that. But in Colossians, if you want to follow along, I'll let you know where they are. If not, just listen to the living word. Colossians 3, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. In Galatians 5, we're told that kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit, beginning in verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. So the Spirit within us produces this fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Now you've heard the phrase, just kill them with kindness. Just kill them with kindness. Well, I think the scriptures, we can easily see that they suggest that we should kill ourselves with kindness. Using kindness to kill, nail to the cross, those sinful things that seem to be in our nature. Being kind comes to us when the Spirit inhabits our body. And it's a special kind of kindness. In Ephesians 1st chapter, beginning in verse 3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace that he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. This is now our character, as not just followers of Jesus, but followers who are filled with the Spirit, and we exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. It's evident to those we come in contact with. We are kind. We are familiar with the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, the love chapter that's read at all of our weddings, and that Tricia so eloquently quoted from that American Standard, or we're reminded that love is kind. And if we substitute our name in that scripture, where the word love is mentioned, although it wouldn't sound like that in her version, but in the New Living Translation, it would sound like, Randy is patient and kind. Randy is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Randy does not demand his own way. Randy is not irritable, and he keeps no record of being wronged. Randy does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Randy never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Isn't that laughable? To put your own name in there? No one knows that more than I, unless it's Pat. No, it's Jesus that is the embodiment of love and kindness. And that's who's given us that perfect example. And Jesus is also described as kindness. In Titus chapter 3, starting with verse 3, it says, once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Became slave to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of envy and evil, and we hated each other. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So this scripture says, when God our Savior revealed his kindness, that was when Christ came. Christ is the embodiment of kindness. So we see that our new nature is one of kindness and compassion. This is something very unique. It's completely different than how the world relates to one another. Anyone can give a smile to someone or a wave to the neighbor as you drive into the driveway. But our kindness needs to be one that just doesn't make any sense. Just like those people in the airport, it's hard to understand. You saw the baffled look on their faces. It's hard to understand for us. How could anyone just be that kind? Jesus himself said this, Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 27. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. Doesn't make any sense. If someone slaps you on one cheek and offers, then offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, then offer him their shirt also. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Just doesn't make any sense, that level of kindness. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to get those who do good to you, and if you do good only to those who do good to you, Why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even the sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For He is kind to those who are unthankful, wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. So can we make a difference? We make a true difference by being kind. It's hard to grasp about being giving something freely without return. Yet that's exactly how Jesus looked at us. God's grace, certainly, it's nothing we earned. If you all remember the movie Evan Almighty with Steve Carell, and Morgan Freeman played God, and Steve Carell played this guy who had recently won an election, and he was a congressman, and he moved to the suburbs, and he built a new house, and he had all these ideas he wanted to do to go into the world, and he wanted to change the world and through the politics and things. And yet, things started showing up at his door, like lumber and all this stuff. And here, Morgan Freeman shows up, and he's God telling him he wants him to build an ark. And you go through the whole movie, and he throws up every obstacle he can. And but at the very end of the movie, he understands some things that he didn't understand at the beginning. So if you'll see this very ending of the, it's about a minute long, the ending of the movie of Evan Almighty. Let's end with this, Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 6. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, then serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's just giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope when we all get to heaven. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice kindness. Most translations have hospitality there. Same root words that the word kindness comes from. So we change the world one act of random kindness at a time. I don't know that the randomness is kindness. It probably should be random acts of kindness, but that doesn't spell ark. You never know the good you can do in someone's life. And you may never know that you did. You may never know that you had influence on someone by doing something good. Sometimes that doesn't come back to you. You're probably more likely to know when you did something that hurt someone. You're probably more likely to get a reaction when you've insulted someone or hurt someone or demeaned someone or were unkind to someone. I'm thankful that Adam happened to be gone this week with the words of kindness. As in any time that you have a class to do or a sermon to do, the person studying that gets probably more out of it than they're able to present. So I'm thankful for that. When I have Ron sing this last song, he told me this is the song I want to sing. It's number one in your book called A Beautiful Life. It wasn't in our system. I put it in there this morning. And it's five verses in this song. And there's not one that you can eliminate that doesn't speak to you about what we've spoken down today. So I appreciate that. Thanks for your attention, Ron.